Car Wash there from Christian McBride's most recent album, originally performed by Rose Royce and written and produced by Norman Whitefield. Hello and welcome to the first In Time Out of Time this term. We are back. I'm Callum Sweet. It's In Time Out of Time. You'll hear the music of jazz musicians around Leeds and their influences. Different from this year, we introduce a new voice behind the mic and more that you will have to stick around to hear. Tonight, we welcome onto our show Sam Williams, Charlie Smythe and Alex Fisher from the Good Apple Quartet. We will be hearing some great tunes that inspire and influence our guest, as well as recordings of their very own work. The Good Apple Quartet is a jazz quartet based in Leeds. They all met at Leeds College of Music, studying on the BTEC jazz and classical courses. They began jamming and soon realised that they had a great musical rapport with one another, and this led to beginning to work on original material, which they have focused on almost exclusively ever since. Their original material derives from many sources, because each member of the band is inspired by many different musical styles and artists from jazz, including Ivan Perdeau, Chris Potter, Dave Brubeck, Avishai Cohen, and loads of others. Funk, including Marcus Miller, Victor Wooten, the list is endless. And they also draw from some rhythmic and harmonic elements from world music, R&B, and classical. Some of those we'll be hearing later on this show. They're continuing to write and arrange original material and hope to have some of it professionally recorded later this year. Each piece of music they write has its own identity and brings its own challenges. They have a great passion for the music and are always looking to push themselves as they continue to play together. Hello and welcome to the show. Let's start by telling us a little bit more about yourself. Alex, we'll start with you. What's your role in the band? What do you play? And name one really interesting fact about yourself.
Well, I'm the sax player in the band. I'm the melody line. Interesting fact about myself. I started on piano, and a few years ago I taught myself jazz on the sax, and I've loved it ever since.
Great. Okay. Next, how about you, Charlie?
Yeah, I play keys. Well, mainly piano in the quartet, and I'm a classical pianist, and I kind of have this interest for jazz, or this love for jazz as well. You know, and I guess an interesting fact is I'm a former student of a former student of Fanny Waterman.
Of Fanny Waterman. Can you tell us a little bit about Fanny Waterman for those who aren't jazz novice?
Oh, I think she. The founder is of the Leeds International Piano Competition.
She's right, kind of that's quite it. Big, yeah. So. And last but certainly not least, you, Sam?
Hello, I'm the bass player of the band, like a bit of my funky stuff. Alex, I started on a piano originally when I was about 5 years old, but I recently turned to bass guitar about 3 years ago, and Marcus Miller is actually my founder of jazz, and then I've stuck with that ever since.
Right, okay. And it's interesting that, of course, we're talking to you last because we're going to start with you first. Each of you have brought tracks that either influence your sound individually as well as the groups, or simply maybe just because you like the track. Sam, as I said, we'll start with you. You've chosen a Marcus Miller track called High Life. Now, this track came out this year, so it must have been relatively new to your ears. I'm guessing, is that right?
Yeah, well, this track particularly is actually something that he's recently introduced himself to quite recently since his last album, because he did a song off his last album called Grey, and he decided to travel the world more to try and incorporate more world music into his playing.
Right, okay. So how is this piece, because this piece is, well, pretty much extremely modern, how would you say that it's helped to develop your sound?
Well, it's helped me concentrate on how using different techniques, especially on the bass guitar, how to incorporate that into your playing and how to adapt that into different styles of music. So he's using the slap bass sound in quite a rhythmic form of music, the slap bass sound itself is very rhythmic, so it contributes the sound to the music.
And would you say that it's had more or less, or maybe even the same impact as older jazz, or would you say that it's not really made a difference as far as significance to you?
It's opened my ears a bit more to more forms of world music, actually, and it's made me listen to more different elements of that particular style, because there is a style of music called High Life, which is why the track is called High Life.
Right, okay, that's interesting. That's really interesting. Well, let's play that said track. This is Marcus Miller, and this track is called High Life. Enjoy. High Life there by Marcus Miller. Beautiful. Very good choice, Sam. I certainly enjoy that. I hope the listeners at home enjoy that too. And if you are listening, then do feel free to tweet at This Is LSR. And it's also useful to sometimes use the hashtag in time, out of time, just to create a bit more attention. So moving swiftly on, Charlie, we move on to your track, your choice. You've chosen to bring a track entitled I Had a Ball by Ivan Padois Trio. You said to me earlier today that Ivan Padois has had a big impact on your playing. How is this so?
Well, you know, I think his sense of harmony and his sense of even licks in his playing is very profound, and I think it's one of a kind. You know, and the amount of space he leaves, you know, is very notable, and also the just his compositions as well. You know, I think he's got an incredible sense of what fits where, and you know, the kind of when to use a certain pattern or when to use you know, how to comp a certain way. I just think it's you know, one of a kind, right?
So how long have you been listening to Ivan Padois?
I'd say it's now about a good 2.5 years, maybe even 3. He's the kind of artist that properly introduced me to, you know, the wonders of jazz music, right? So he's yeah, and it's contemporary jazz as well, so you know.
So I'm guessing Ivan Padois himself has obviously been influenced by many artists of older jazz.
Yeah.
Who would you say they are, just off the top of your head?
He's actually influenced quite a bit by Enrico Prenanzi, who's kind of also of this time, but he's been playing for quite a while. So kind of influenced by contemporary, and Bill Evans as well. There's a lot of Bill Evans in his yeah.
Lovely.
Style. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we shall play the tune. If you do like the tune, then, like I say, comment at This Is LSR. If you hate the tune, well, it'll be really interesting to know why. That's something that we like to do on In Time, Out of Time, is to actually understand the viewer's point, or the listener's points. So this is I Had a Ball, and this is by the Ivan Padois Trio. Enjoy. I Had a Ball There by the Ivan Padois Trio. Thank you very much, Charlie, for choosing that.
Thank you.
It was a great tune there. And you were mentioning something about that tune during the track?
Oh, just the, you know, I'm in love with the eighth feel. You know, they kind of one, two, three, four, five. You know, just I don't have to count up right.
But yeah, but to eight.
But it's
yeah.
You know, it's very spacious and it's yeah, it's very free. You know, and it, you can, it's kind of the shoulder mover. You know,
the shoulder move.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Alex, we move on to you now. We haven't forgotten about you. I haven't forgotten about you. Hope the listeners at home haven't forgotten about you either. You've chosen a tune called "Take a Drink of Water." By John Ellis. What is about this tune that is so good?
Well, for me, it's a funky track. You know, it grooves hard.
That bass line is amazing on that track.
It is, in the intro. And then it just resolves into John Ellis himself comes in on sax and plays this fantastic melody.
Yeah.
And his solo, for me, is out of this world.
I must say that it's actually called "Tall Drink of Water," not "Take a Drink of Water." I stand myself corrected there. But so his solo is out of this world. In what way?
Just, well, like what Charlie was saying about Padois, he's creative with the harmony first of all, but he's not afraid to put spaces in as well. Mm. It's a tasteful solo, but it's
cheeky.
Yeah. That's the word, cheeky. Thank you, Sam.
Now, I can't help but notice Sam's input on this, and I couldn't help but notice that Sam initially picked a John Ellis track way back when we were thinking of tracks
for this show. Yeah, I think it was Little Giggles, I think.
Yes. No, we weren't able to play it tonight, but do you think John Ellis has... This is a question for both of you. In fact, all three of you, if you have opinions about this, but do you think John Ellis has a big influence on your group sound, considering that the majority of you like him?
Well, for me anyway, Alex actually introduced me to him about a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Long ago.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
It was this track you're about to play now that got me absolutely hooked on this guy. Proper kicking-ass bass line, great harmony on the solos. It's just fantastic. But, well, I wouldn't say it. Well, maybe it has influences a little bit.
Well, yeah, I'd say it has. Certainly the... I mean, we're composing all the time, obviously.
Yeah, who does the composing? Is that all three of you, or is that one of you in particular? All four of you, of course.
Yeah.
The fourth member is...
Kai Chirinzi.
On drums,
and he's unable to be here with us today. So yeah. All four of you are collectively composing. So I guess that all four of you are drawing from all of your influences.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And I guess because some of you have an influence of John Ellis... that he may be predominantly in a sound of yours in your group. Is that saying too much? Is that going too far, or would you agree?
I think you might not necessarily hear it in the tracks that you play later on of ours.
Yeah. But the most recent one was written maybe.
Yeah.
I'd say you've got probably hear elements of John Ellis in there, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Well, we could talk about John Ellis for years, I'm sure. But we'll actually play him now instead. This is "Tall Drink of Water," and this is by John Ellis. And that is Tall Drink of Water by John Ellis. Now, quite a controversial tune in the studio, that, because I assumed that everyone liked that tune, but Charlie, that's not the case, is it?
Yeah, I mentioned I like Space Fright, but I'm just not sure about the amount of space in that. I think that's just too much for me. In terms of harmony.
Just not sure about the amount of space as far as... Could you explain that?
I'm a kind of harmonic freak, or a harmony freak, in the sense that I like to listen to music that has very, very rich harmony, you know.
Right, as far as in texture?
Texture, yeah.
Quite rich?
Very rich, yeah.
So quite a lot going on?
Most definitely.
And you feel that this is too weak, for want of maybe a better word?
Too weak, I'm afraid, yeah. I mean, the rhythm, I like the solid rhythm. I think I can dig the rhythm, but the space is just too much, I'm afraid.
The space is too much.
Yeah.
And now, do you both... Do you disagree with that, or are you the same? Or
well, I can understand it. I mean, for me, not having a piano, and like, especially in the sax solo, because it's very just split down to it's the sax and the bass and then the drums. I mean, normally I do really love the piano input in that harmonic thing, but I think for me, just that bass line and that dirty, I'd say, that dirty sax playing over the top of it is just, it's kicking for me.
Right. Okay. That's interesting. So we're gonna move on from that tune now. This is probably the most interesting tune to me that I feel like we're gonna go on to this show. So if you're about to make your cup of tea, I'd say just hold on for a minute, because this tune is entitled JG, and it's by the Wildflower Sextet. And you've brought it in, Alex.
Yeah.
But this is a rather interesting choice because many of the artists in this band are lecturers of yours at the Leeds College of Music. You're actually the very first person to choose a track that I've had on the show, created by your lecturers. And so can you tell us about your reason for choosing this track, what influence those lectures have on you, and what it's like studying with lecturers who are influences of yours?
Well, for me, it's, I think, to have the opportunity to study under people who are creating this music, it's brilliant music, and obviously it was made in this area. Mm. That's inspiration in itself, just to know that that happens. Like you said, Matt Anderson, he's a friend and a former tutor of all of us.
Yeah, definitely.
He's just gone down to London recently.
Matt Anderson is a tutor of mine as well, it must be added. So we've all been taught in some way by Matt Anderson. Anderson.
Yeah,
Anderson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, haven't we? Yeah. So you all find him influential, and not just him, but the other players in that band, including Jamil Sharif.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, we all, well, especially me and Alex, I'm not too sure about you, Charlie, but we definitely dig his Jamil Sharif octet.
Right.
Especially his album Backchat.
That's a great album.
Yeah. Patriotic tune just does it for me.
I must add that if you feel that you may be talking about your tutors and you don't have to constantly say a positive about them, if they are listening, I'm sure they won't be offended if you're I don't like his face. So I wouldn't worry, because we would like to be open and honest about our feelings, because it's music at the end,
at the end of the day.
So how do you, Charlie, and Sam find this tune influential on your playing because of the tutors in it?
I mean, well, for me, especially knowing Matt, like Alex, on a personal level, it's just, I actually never got to hear him play in person, so to hear him play on this record is just absolutely fantastic, and he is a fantastic sax player. And say Jamil Sharif, his comping is just absolutely fantastic, especially his harmony. Mm. The bass playing, who plays on this track? I'm not sure.
It's a guy called Sam Vickery.
Sam Vickery. I interviewed Sam Vickery not so long ago, not on this radio show, but actually for Leeds College of Music.
Oh, right.
The video is actually on YouTube, and it's with Declan Ford on piano and a few others. Yeah. I've actually forgotten the name of their. Of their band now, but it's worth having a look on YouTube anyway.
Definitely,
it's a good interview, but yeah, I think what about you, Charlie? How do you find, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh, it's fine, yeah. I'm going to Charlie.
How do you find this interesting and inspiring?
Well, Matt Anderson, for me, kind of, he taught me how to comp properly.
Yeah.
Which is, so it's always nice to kind of hear his spirit, you know, through the his wisdom, right?
Yeah,
and his tone on tenor is just
it's
immaculate, right?
Yeah. And of course you hear it probably nearly every day. Well, probably nearly every week at least. So it clearly resonates in you.
Exactly.
For me, when I used to go to Leeds College of Music, because I graduated in May, and I would hear people playing down the corridor, you'd hear a sound and you'd go, "Oh, that's Matt Anderson. Oh, that's Jamil. Oh, that's such and such." Because you hear that sound so often. That
so distinctive, yeah.
Yeah, they're so distinctive. Without further ado, anyway, we've spoken a lot about them. let's hope that they're listening. This is JG, and this is by the Wildflower Sextet. Enjoy. splendid stuff there. That is JG, and that is by The Wildflower Sextet. I don't know what JG stands for. Does anyone here know what JG stands for? You do, yeah. The shake of the head. What does it stand for, Alex?
Well, Matt told me it's the initials of his favourite author, JG Ballard.
Ah, okay.
He wrote quite dark, surreal novels back in, I think it was the 50s or the 60s.
Interesting. Okay, that is interesting. And we're not the only person here in the studio that likes Matt Anderson, as Andy Berry has just tweeted at This Is LSR. I get a bit of Matt Anderson on hashtag in time, out of time, cracking tune, fantastic harmony, strong melodies. It sounds like it's 5 stars from him. lovely. So we continue on, but now, instead of playing the influences, we play your own tunes. It's that time. So we're going to start with a tune that all collectively you've written, I'm guessing. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And this tune is entitled Changes. Can you tell us a bit about about this one? Anyone here?
There's you've got a 6-4 rhythm, and yeah. It's called Changes because it kind of changes from the 6-4 to kind of swung, kind of cliched swung. But the chords and the top of the chords stays the same. Oh, the top note. It's changes for more than one reason, right?
Constant change of
constant. Yeah.
Tritone changes, isn't it?
Tritone change in the way at some point. Yeah.
Is there anything in particular that made you want to write this, or
just found two chords that I was kind of fell in love with?
The first tune we ever wrote.
Is the first tune that you ever wrote. That's interesting.
Nice to solo over as well.
Nice to solo. Yeah, we all know that you like your you like your solos, Charlie.
Good space.
You're good at them. That's what I mean.
So,
without further ado, this is Changes, and this is by the very own The Good Apple Quartet. Enjoy. Thank you. lovely, and that is Changes. And that is by the Good Apple Quartet, who, if you've only just joined us a little bit late, you'll this is the Good Apple Quartet. We are interviewing them at the moment, and this is their own music. We're going to have another one of yours because it's just that good. This next one that we're going to have from you is called, well, it's actually called nothing because there isn't a title for it at the moment.
Yeah, correct, yeah.
But if you're sitting at home and you listen to this and you suddenly think of a really good title, well, why not tweet this is LSR? With the hashtag, of course, in time, out of time, with a title that they may or may not consider. It would be nice to hear your thoughts for that. This next tune, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, this tune was more kind of just based on a jam, wasn't it, really?
Essentially, yeah.
We started off with this complicated like piano intro.
Yeah.
It just starts off with a singular note, and then it brings in the chords. Slowly
it throws
build.
You off, doesn't it? Because you think it's on beat one, and it's actually on the off beat, or it's the other way around. Yeah.
It's just.
Could you demonstrate what that means?
So the piano comes in. You'll hear this right at the start. The piano comes in, and then you're thinking, okay, so that's on the beat, and then the right hand comes in, and then it suddenly throws you off the beat.
Yeah.
You will hear what we're talking about when the recording comes on.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Is there anything else that anyone would like to add at all about?
At my end, you'll hear the Marcus Miller influence come in.
Right. Okay. So we're really going to start to hear influences from. Is there any John Ellis influences in this track at all? Would you say?
Well, this was recorded before we came across John Ellis, but there's definitely a lot of lineage in this one.
You describe what lineage is?
Well, on my part, in terms of the sax solo, I was thinking about Chris Potter when I took this solo.
Right, okay, and Chris Potter is one of your influences.
Yeah,
he's
a favourite of mine.
Right, okay, lovely. Well, let's get on with it then. This is Untitled, and like I say, tweet this is LSR with what you think it should be called. I hope you enjoy this as much as I do. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Lovely stuff there, and that is, well, untitled so far, and that is by the Good Apple Quartet. Thanks guys so much for coming in. You've been true stars.
Thank you.
No, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Made my heart light up. No, really, it's been lovely having you today. So where can we find you? Where, if there's someone who's listening, they're like, oh, I love these. Where can they find you?
Well, if you're wanting to listen to us, you can find us on SoundCloud, SoundCloud/Good Apple Jazz. We're going to be putting some new recordings on there quite soon, hopefully. We're on Facebook as well.
Yeah, you can also find us on Facebook. Just type in the Good Apple Quartet, and also there'll be links on that page to the SoundCloud as well, and I think the YouTube channel maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But find out for yourselves.
Splendid, that's great. Thanks guys, thank you so much for coming in. Now, we haven't finished yet, so like I said earlier, don't get the cup of tea just yet. Before we finish for the day, there is a new addition to the show. From this point and for future weeks, we'll be reviewing recently released jazz albums and also talking about mergers between jazz and other genres. This will be presented by the glorious Caroline Morris. Welcome to In Time Out of Time, Caroline. What have you been reviewing for us this week?
Okay, can I just say it's great to be here tonight, and I'll be reviewing the Mindy Abair and the Boneshakers Live in Seattle album, which is a combination of rock and funk with jazz, but also it's got like a bluesy rock feeling to it and a hard soul feeling to it as well. The album really targets mainly contemporary jazz fans, although the music does include many styles. So this means that many people who aren't necessarily jazz fans will still appreciate the music. And it seems to be quite a bold and gutsy transition for Mindy Abair, as she was previously known as a smooth jazz artist. And one gets the feeling that the performance, however, is still authentic and sincere either way. Well, my impression of it was that the songs were more spectacular when she performed it live with the Boneshakers, as they had more energy and passion to it, and there was just more enthusiasm on the stage. And Sweet P. Atkinson, which was the vocals of the Boneshakers, contributed his bluesy voice to the track, which gives the recording more depth and diversity to it. The Boneshakers also contributed different tempos, rhythms, and beats to the track, which catches the audience's attention like immediately, which is what's so great about this album, is the fact that it's live, so you can hear people's like reactions to it at that time.
What would you say is a standout tracks for you?
For me, I personally really enjoyed Be Beautiful because it sounded more like soul. It was like kind of gospely and soul-like. And I don't know, Atkinson's voice is just amazing with it because he's got such a bluesy, rough voice too. I thought it gave so much depth to the actual track.
And Summertime is also one track that is listed in that. This is interesting because one thing that In Time Out of Time will try and do now for future weeks is combine genres together with jazz, show how jazz influences other genres. So today is rock and blues. So Summertime is known as a jazz standard. How would you say that this track has been changed?
Okay, well, this track has been changed into like a slightly, well, not slightly, a far more powerful, wild and bold version. The Bone Shakers seem to like modify the tempo, the rhythm and the beat, making the song so much more energetic and full of passion. So I think that it kind of just gives also the audience so much more energy to it, and you can just hear them screaming in the background. Sorry about that.
No, lovely. Okay, well, without further ado, thank you very much, Caroline, for coming in, and thank you very, very much for listening this week. I have been Callum Sweet. You've also been listening to
Caroline Morris,
as well as the Good Apple Quartet featuring
Charlie Smythe, just about
Alex Fisher
and Sam Williams.
Lovely. Thank you very much for listening. You have been listening to In Time, Out of Time. This is Mindy, a bear with Summertime. Enjoy. Thank you and good night.